Kellogg, Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, New South Wales, Australia. February 11, 1899. Dear Brother, we feel more and more our need of a hospital at once. Experience teaches us that this must be. But the strait places we are in financially makes us continually sad. A few weeks ago, £280 came to me from California from the sale of our individual property. That is not my own, but the Lord's goods. The situation in the different branches of the work, especially in the sanitarium at Summer Hill, has been laid open before me as it is. The building in which the sanitarium is located was a good-sized dwelling house. The bathrooms were formed in the chap of the work, of one room, a bathroom, I think. A partition, reaching only part way up to the ceiling, was put up in this room, so that men could occupy one division and women the other. It required all the means coming in to furnish this house and pay the rent. I engaged to take one small room for $1 per week and furnish it myself. Brother Simmons told me that if he had one good-sized furnished room, he could get 1 guinea per week for it. So Elder Haskell and Sarah invested $130 of my money to furnish a room. Brother Baker paid rent on the two rooms he occupied until patients required them. This was the A of the beginning of the work. It required money to get the rooms in order to do any kind of work in them. We felt distressed that we had to take this house and make a beginning for even 1 year, but we must keep it 2 years, or we could not have it at all. I felt sick at heart. But the best workmen were employed to fit the building up. One of these, Brother Hay, had embraced the truth. He was a coachmake and could get no work because of the Sabbath. He was one of the very best workmen, and as true as steel to principle. He and his wife took their position on the truth and worked for the smallest wages. Brother Hay worked as hard as he could for the appearance of these bathrooms, knowing that patients would come in from Sydney and that everything that could be done would be done to gain patronage. We know that these buildings will and must answer until Brother John Wessels shall come. We expected him within 1 year. Well, the 2 years passed, and the B and C was reached. Meanwhile, we were looking for another building. We found we could obtain a seminary with several excellent bathrooms, but we could not afford to move and pay the high rent. We could find buildings better adapted to our work, but we were tied down, for we had nothing to do with. Satan had so arranged things at the heart of the work that we could count on nothing from them. The work at Stanmore called for a meeting house which had to be built. Buildings must go up on the school ground. We could not stop making improvements there. We built our meeting house at Kurrenbong and dedicated it without a debt upon it. Our people here, the poor and those a little better off, took hold and worked at half wages. I know they did according to their ability, and it was done cheerfully. Some who had homes and families worked with heart and soul, putting in extra time. We know that the angels of God were on the ground, and His blessing was upon every stroke done upon the building. The Stanmore Meeting House was built, but a debt of £200 or £300 is upon it. I gave $130 toward that building. Everything was done that could be to dedicate this building free from debt. But the seats and the facilities cost money, and all our people are poor. They did what they could. We all stretched ourselves beyond our measure. The sanitarium was still in the ABC of its existence, and struggle as we could not lift it out of this position. Then came the camp meeting at Balaclava, and a call for a meeting house there which seemed to be a necessity. I gave £20 toward that, and shared the expenses of the camp meeting. The Tract Society workers in Melbourne, Sister Graham and Sister Ingalls, were both in poor health. Sister Ingalls was spitting blood. She went to the health home, and this cost her £20. I paid half of that. Thus we have been surrounded with expenses, but all were necessary. Things could not be otherwise. Still we advance. Churches are raised up and meeting houses built. Continually the standard of truth is planted in new fields. We move forward, but at every step we are handicapped for the want of means. Queensland must be worked. We went to Brisbane to attend the camp meeting there, and the Lord went before us. The greatest interest was manifested from the first. The tent leaked, and rains came frequently. But there are now no less than 35 or 40 keeping the Sabbath. Many have had an experience of intense interest. One woman, an interesting, sharp, businesslike woman, could not read, but her heart was touched by the truth she heard. She was converted, and then she wept and prayed that she might learn to read. Sister Wilson took her in hand and began to teach her from Gospel Primer. They studied and prayed together, and the Lord gave understanding. And now this woman reads readily. Thank God for this experience. Many who never went to meeting before have attended the meetings in the tent. Whole families have been converted. Of all places where labor has been put forth, there is need of meeting houses in Brisbane, one in one end of the city and another in another part. After the camp meeting, Brother and Sister Wilson and Brother and Sister Haskell stood at the head of the work in Brisbane. Brother Wilson now sleeps in Jesus. A standard bearer has fallen at his post. Right. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14, verse 13. Brother Wilson was one of our most conscientious, trustworthy workers. He and his wife did their work solidly, and Brother Wilson will be greatly missed. But we do not stop to weep, we go forward. Just at this period, the 300 pounds came from California. I said, now we will erect the hospital in Corinbong. Meanwhile, we had our camp meeting in Newcastle, and the interest manifested was greater than anything we have ever seen in this country. The very best people in the community were interested and are taking hold of the truth. We hired a very large tent, but that was filled. And often, though it was the holiday season, a wall of people stood on the outside. Dr. Caro gave lectures on health topics, and his talks take everywhere he goes. He has a pleasing address and maintains simplicity. Our old tent was riddled with the wind and storm. $300 must be raised to purchase a new tent, and I gave £10 to this. Then the situation of the health home was set before me by Dr. Caro. They wished to add bathrooms, but had no money. The £300, lacking $100, had just come. It was mine in trust. I placed in the hands of Elder Daniels £200 and said, hand $100 to the health home to be used as far as it will go to provide suitable bathrooms. I will loan them the money. $100 was sent to Brisbane as a donation from me as the Lord's steward, and they began there to build a church. The rains were coming, and it is already impossible to use the tent there. They have no place in which they can meet to worship God. The land has been purchased, and some donations has been made. If they can get the £100 they expect Brother Sisley can raise for them, in about 6 weeks they will have a humble church, finished and painted on the outside, but not fully finished on the inside. Thus I am relieved of a burden in Brisbane. In Newcastle, there is an old stone church at Wall's End, a suburb of Newcastle, that is offered for sale. It is without floor or windows, but will seat 200 people, and is in an excellent location, a large, thickly settled suburb. This was offered for £80. It will take £100 to fix it up. It is now offered for £60, and yet we cannot see any way of raising this amount. If we only had means to do with, we could set workmen right at this building. This is a chance we should not miss. We have all decided to buy this cheap, dilapidated building at Wall's End. It is not so much worn out as destroyed by those who love to destroy such a structure for sport. This meeting house is only 12 miles from Corinbong, about halfway between Newcastle and Morisset. This makes it very easy to be worked, with little additional expense. There is decided interest in Wall's End, and meetings are being held there. Both parts of Newcastle are now being worked. A meeting house will have to be built in another part of the city when it is possible to get the money. These houses will be simple, yet neat and roomy. I place this situation before you. 1 week ago yesterday, W.C. White and Sarah McInterfer accompanied me to Newcastle. We had a good congregation on the Sabbath. At this meeting, those who were keeping the Sabbath for the first time were given opportunity to bear their testimony. 20 who were newly converted bore excellent testimonies. I have now related to you something of our situation here. Yet I have not entered into particulars as I might have done. I might relate many, many incidents regarding the wonderful work of God in these cities where we have planted the standard of truth. Last night, I received the following letter from Rockhampton, Queensland, dated February 5, 1899. To Mrs. E. G. White. Dear Madam, I am instructed by the Church to write to you in regard to our building. You are doubtless aware of the great inconvenience that we have to suffer through not having a suitable hall for our services. Therefore, we realize that God is leading us to build a church. We have about £50 promised, and we trust the work will soon be accomplished. We solicit your help in behalf of the building. In doing so, we are aware of the great strain made on your resources, but thought you would like to help us in some way. I thank God for His great love for me. I pray that I may ever retain the abiding presence of Jesus, that self may be dead, and nothing but the light and love of God may spring forth in my life. Our prayers are that God may bless and strengthen you. With Christian greetings from the Rockhampton Church, Redwood. I shall certainly respond to this call, but cannot now, for we are greatly pressed. The work is opening before us and all around us, inviting us to uplift the standard of truth. Our people in Rockhampton are nearly all poor, yet they did nobly in raising funds to help the school. I looked upon the large families there, whose fathers could only raise 4 or 5 shillings a day for the support of a large family of 10 children. And often their health is poor. Two of the brethren in Rockhampton are in better circumstances than the others, and these raised funds from their own little to pay the fare of 12 to the Brisbane camp meeting. These gained a great blessing from the meeting. They have had very little ministerial labor. I saw that these words were true of this church, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3. For this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6-10. If our brethren in Rockhampton build a church, which is a positive necessity, I shall donate £10, if I possibly can. But at present, I have nothing in the bank. Emergencies arise which take the money. My workers have patiently waited for the wages coming to them from last year. It is positively essential that all the means available be used to prepare the way to preach the gospel in the regions beyond, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready at hand. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 16. When I see such poor people as in Rockhampton and Brisbane attempting to build, I feel like helping them all I can. The hall they meet in opens right upon the street and is not a proper place for them. It does not suggest any sacredness. I had a special message for those at Rockhampton and urged them to make decided reforms in and about their premises. I told them that they must all meet a higher standard. God called them to represent in their worship and in their life and character the great truths which they had received, which make men wise unto salvation. I bore a straight testimony against all slackness and all cheapness in conversation. The claims of the Word of God for their perfection unto holiness were presented. They wept all like children, confessed their defects, and sought the Lord most earnestly. The Lord blessed them. They are an intelligent people, but poverty has made some quite careless. There is no timber in Rockhampton suitable for building, so the church will cost nearly as much again as it would in Currumbong. But it is not possible for them to hire a decent place of worship in which to meet on the Sabbath. They have not been able to rightly represent the faith which we claim is of the highest value. There must be no untidiness, no slipshod work among those who are looking for Christ's coming. Everything must represent Christ's works. All our actions must be after the divine similitude.
Dr. Kellogg, if you will please to send the bathtubs and the money raised for furnishing the hospital,
we will arise and build. But the work opening in different lines has been much larger than our expectations, so the funds with which I hoped to put up the hospital have gone for other pressing necessities. I have felt that I must put $2,000 into the cause of God at once, and that it would be selfishness on my part to hold the means. Every carpenter has been enlisted on the large building for the school. The girls' and boys' dormitories are now full. There is no room for one more. Money has been hired, and by pressing every power to advance the work, the building has been enclosed and roofed and is ready for plastering. The doors and windows are yet to be made. We have not money for furnishing the rooms, but we must walk out by faith. Rooms should be prepared at once for about 20 additional students. We have now as many students as when we closed the term last year. We have an excellent class of students. I am paying the expenses of a large number, that I may lose no time in doing what I can. We are seeking to work economically. As soon as the carpenters are released from the work on the school building, the hospital will be the next on the program. We have decided to put up the building, and we desire you to send us the money raised. We can obtain some donations toward furnishing the rooms. We will furnish the building inside as fast as we can get means to do it, and will at once have a few rooms finished and furnished, so that work for the sick can begin as soon as possible. The husband of one of our sisters, a man by the name of Hughes, had been a drinking man and had squandered a large amount of property. For a time he kept the Sabbath and gave up his tobacco and his drinking, but he never had moral courage to take his stand fully on the truth. He did not erect the family altar, and he had left off attending meetings. While we were in Queensland, his business called him into Sydney. His old associates gathered around him, and he commenced smoking and drinking. On returning home, he became dangerously sick. A physician was sent for, I think from Newcastle, it may have been from Sydney. The doctor made no examination, did not even feel his pulse, but left him some medicine and charged him 10 guineas. Dr. Rand was sent for. He made a critical examination. The sick man had not urinated for several days, had no passage from bowels for more than a week. Dr. Rand worked for that man's life. He had no facilities, no conveniences, but he knew it was a case demanding immediate attention. The doctor did all he could do, and relief came. The man's life was saved. Mr. Hughes says he would surely have died if Dr. Rand had not attended him. He would have been left to the care of a doctor who had no special interest whether he lived or died. Dr. Rand, Brother Simmons, and Dr. Caro have had other experiences like this. Sister Sarah McKenterfer, in giving treatment, has seen similar cases. The doctors do really nothing to restore a patient, yet they demand their fee before they will look at him. Persons have come to us for help who had been in the hospital for months without receiving the slightest benefit, yet they had to pay all the same. It is a terrible showing.